Welcome to Power Your Profits Podcast, your friendly guide in bringing your business revenue to the next level. Listen as host Dr. Susie Carter hears inspiring stories of success from her fellow entrepreneurs and transformational leaders. Prepare to make significant change to your strategies as they unravel the secrets of building multi-million dollar businesses and the most effective tips on finance, marketing, and sales accountability. If you want to take your first steps towards explosive business growth, this podcast is for you. Without further ado, here is your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to this episode of Power Your Profit Podcast. I am your host, Susie Carter, and I'm so excited to introduce my guest. John is not your typical CEO. He is qualified to help small businesses in real estate, to build a real estate portfolio. He has a real estate career. He's built a massive investing business. He has bought foreclosures, short sales, single family houses, by the dozens, done fix up flippers, brought properties directly from banks and other financial institutions. He's bought multi-family units by the hundreds. He's a genius when it comes to real estate investing. And if you know me, that's one of the things that I do from my wealth strategy. So I thought he would be an exceptional guest. He's coached all kinds of businesses, restaurants, education, environmental, real estate, coaches. So be prepared for a juicy conversation with my guest, John. Thank you, John, so much for being with us and sharing your time. I really appreciate it. I'm very excited to chat with you and share you with our community and our tribe because you're a badass. Like, I went down the rabbit hole and you are moving and shaking, doing some amazing things in the world. So share with everybody who you are and what you do in the world.
Well, thank you for that. It's a privilege to be here, number one. Number two, and thank you for telling me I've been running around like crazy. That is so true. I'm ready to kind of slow down a little bit for December. But basically, I'm an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur the last 25 years. I focus on things like building businesses and real estate investing very heavily, especially on the commercial multifamily side. And other than that, it's doing family stuff and spending time with them that type of thing. I've written 4 books and things like that. But I love the idea of being an entrepreneur and an investor. That's really where a lot of my time goes.
Me too. That's why one of my wealth strategy is real estate investing. Lost my ass in it, but also got back in it too. So I think that's real estate, right? You got to be able to ride the high, ride the low.
Yeah, you know, the thing is with what you just said right there, that creates lessons that we can take and use during times like this where the market is changing. And if any of your listeners have lost before in real estate or have lost before in building businesses or anything like that, know that that experience is going to be gold where everything I feel is going and what's happening with that. So don't think that's a total loss. Look at that as a benefit.
Yeah, it was humbling. And then the minute I got, you know, back on my feet, it was a 2009, right? When the big crash, the lesson I learned is I was way too over leveraged, right? I you think you're young and invincible and just being bored going, I don't have 20 years to rebuild it, but immediately got back into real estate because it has been one of my wealth strategies that's worked well for me. So where do you see the market going? So I know we don't have a crystal ball, but what are you seeing? Because you're in it every single day.
Yeah, I think the market is definitely in for a downturn. I think a lot of people have been talking about that. I was calling this a year ago. And the reason that I thought that a year ago is simply because of two things. Number one, the amount of money that was in the marketplace was enormous. Usually when there's a lot of money chasing too few goods and services, that leads to inflation. Typically, not all the time, but typically 80% plus of the time when you have inflation, that leads to a recession. So all I was doing there was playing the odds. And so I think that there is going to be a downturn in the economy. I think there's going to be a downturn in real estate investing and in businesses. But that is where people like you and I and every one of your listeners can take advantage of that and help more people, because people are going to need solutions, whether it be people that own real estate, people that own businesses, people that need product or services from your businesses. And that's where we can really take a negative and turn into a positive.
Awesome. So you've coached all kinds of businesses, right? Reading everything that you're up to, restaurants, educational, environment, real estate. What do you see from your perspective, our biggest mistakes as entrepreneurs that we make from being in so many different industries?
Really good question. There's usually a few things that people make a mistake on when they're starting out with a business. Number one is they're not capitalized enough. They don't have enough money set aside to run the business, whether it's a widget factory or a services business or anything like that. And when you don't have enough capital set aside, you're always at the mercy of bringing in business so that you can use that capital to buy more goods or pay your people. But if you can front load that a little bit and be better capitalized, then you can bring that capital in from your sales and use that more to invest in the business in other ways, buying more inventory, doing more marketing, things like that. So that's number one. Number two, I think, is timing. Most people, when the market is going down, or you hear that on the news, if you're a TV watcher or listen to the news on the radio, you know that there's a feeling that we're going to have a recession in 2023, and people think this is a bad time to start a business. I think it's a fantastic time to start a business because, like I said earlier, this is the point where more people need your help, whether it be product or services, and more businesses that are owned by people today are going to need solutions to get out of their current issues. And then number three, I think this is probably the biggest one, is when you're starting a business, most people don't charge enough for their product or service.
Oh, amen.
And so I think that, really understanding your operational cost of that business is really important in the margins that you want to obtain in pricing your product or service that you're selling. And that's probably number three, but maybe one of the most important things as a new business owner.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way by losing thousands, right? And going, what is wrong? I'm making all this money, but not making any money, right? A hard lesson. So I think it's important that you find someone, like John, who can help you go, let's look at what it should be.
You're listening to another episode of Power Your Profits podcast. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Are you tired of pouring resources into strategies that don't work? Say hello to Dr. Susie Carter, your future fractional COO. With Dr. Susie in your corner, your business can skyrocket to seven figures and beyond. With a track record of creating thriving businesses, trust that you are in good hands. Head over to coo.poweryourprofits.com and let us put some magic into your business growth. Overwhelmed by the complexity of business profit strategies? Jump aboard the Bullet Train to Big Profits course, a streamlined solution by Dr. Susie Carter. This course is designed to uncomplicate the path to profitability. Imagine being able to identify and execute profit strategies with ease, skyrocketing your revenues. Visit course.poweryourprofits.com and sign up for the Bullet Train to Big Profits course today.
So let's look at your career, because you've had an expansive career, lots of businesses. What would you say has been your biggest learning experience? Some people call it a challenge. Some people call it failure, right? The biggest, I say the universe, kicks us in our hiney and then go, If I knew then what I knew now, what would you say it would be?
Yeah, I think my biggest learning experience over the years has been the fact that I haven't, in times like this, I haven't taken enough risk. We often think about risk. You can take more when you're younger, but I think you should. When I look at people like Warren Buffett, or I look at BlackRock, which is a large private equity firm, when I look at them and when they take risk is when the times are the toughest. When everyone is going this way, they're going this way. They're going against the grain. And so that's probably the biggest thing that I've learned is do things opposite of the masses. And so, for instance, over the last couple of years, everyone was buying real estate. And the prices are up, up, and up. And it goes against everything that you've probably heard, that basic lesson of buy low, sell high. And people are selling high, But if you're a really good investor, you buy low, buy low, and then sell high. But there were so many people that ran in to buy high only to have the market now turn on them. So I think that's one of the lessons overall that I've learned in 20 some years is when everyone's doing this, we go that way.
Right. There was a study done that more millionaires are made inside of recessions, depressions.
Yeah.
You know, so I love that you really edified that. Is it scary? I don't know. I'm an entrepreneur. It is. It isn't. That we thrive on that.
Yeah. It is a little scary for some, but I think that, you know, that fear is a natural thing. I was speaking once in Los Angeles, and the speaker ahead of me was talking about how he's just trained himself not to be afraid of anything. And I thought, what a crock that is. When you have fear of taking action, that fear is there to protect you, but it's also a form of energy. If you can take that fear and kind of use it as just guideposts, think of bowling when you put those bumpers in the lane. Use that fear as bumpers, but you're still going to roll the ball down the alley. And so it's when you turn those bumpers this way where you can't roll the ball down the alley is where fear becomes a detriment instead of using it to our advantage.
Right. There was a story that I tell a lot, which is like a roller coaster. Some people love them. I do not personally love them. But some people get in that line and go, I'm so excited. And then I get in the line like, oh, I'm so nervous. And it's this same physical response. It's just what I label it versus somebody else that's doing the roller coaster. And so I've learned to label it differently. Like it's a flag of growth. I'm nervous, but versus shutting myself down in fear of, I don't want to make that decision to go, oh, okay, I might be going in the right direction.
Sure. Yep. Yep.
I love that.
So you don't like roller coasters at all? You haven't gone on any?
I don't like them. No.
Got it.
I don't like jostled like that.
Yeah, maybe that's your goal for 2023. Who knows?
Yeah, that and you know, jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
No. Right. My insurance would be way too high. insurance.
Right.
So looking at your life and looking at, you know, you've made millions or you've helped companies make millions. What has been your own wealth strategy, John, in you building your own personal wealth?
Yeah. So the foundation of that, think of a triangle. The foundation of that triangle has been real estate investing. And I learned early on growing up in the South Side of Chicago that I grew up in apartment buildings. So I learned that business from the inside looking out. And I really have made a multifamily investing, apartment investing, the foundation of my investments as I've gotten older, but I really started that about 25 years ago. And so I like the idea of all of those people in that building going to their 9-to-5 to cut me the most important check of the month. And that check covers three things. The check covers, number one, the operational expenses of the building. Number two, it covers the mortgage payment on the building. And then finally, number three, it's what provides me with cash flow. It puts food on the table, clothes on the kids, gas in the car. And so that's been the foundation. The second part of that is as we go up the triangle has been other businesses. So I've been in the environmental business, restaurant business, marketing business. I have a real estate brokerage, lending business. I've done so many things. And that's really the second part of it is be diversified in the businesses that you have because one is always going to fail or slow down. And you want to have others to fall back on. And then number three, kind of put yourself out there a little bit with calculated risks, whether that is a business that may be more risky or a business that is unknown to the public, where it doesn't have a lot of foothold just yet. This could be a new invention. This could be a new product or service to the marketplace. And the reason I say that's at the top of the period is you don't want to put a lot of wealth into that. You just want to put enough in that you can afford to lose. But when you do hit it or hit it big, then it's a huge return. That's really what you're after.
We are all looking for that huge return. Talk about your one plan deal or one deal plan. What is that?
So that's where people are looking at a real estate investment, and they want me to come out and actually help them with their due diligence. So I do that as a service. That's what I've really cut my teeth on the last 25 years, and really making that a kind of a 1-2 day thing where I'm out there analyzing the numbers, looking at the due diligence, inspections, what the numbers are behind the property and things like that. So it's really a comprehensive way of understanding the investment that that person's about to buy.
Right, because there's so many variables. And if you don't know what you're looking for, you know, my daughter just bought this condo in San Francisco, right? Pretty, but not pretty, right? When you get in the underneath of it and, you know, their inspection wasn't a good inspection, you know, now they're in, it's like this thing falling around them and you're like, it's $1 million condo, you know,
yeah,
starter home in San Francisco,
right?
Ace to have someone like you come in and look at it and go, here's what I see, here's what I see, here's what I see. Well, you can still buy it, take that money off the price or however you want to do it, but
yeah,
don't leave it to chance, you know.
That's right, that's right, because you don't want to make a mistake on those, for sure. Yeah.
What would you do differently in building your wealth? Looking back, hindsight's 2020, what would you do differently in building your wealth, if anything?
I probably would have went bigger on some projects. Sometimes we were talking about fear earlier. And when I was younger, 25 years ago, I probably didn't go as big as I should have. Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, the availability of money, no matter if we're in recessionary times or in boom times, is enormous. It may not be in the traditional ways that you get money, but there's so many in recessionary times, kind of like the time that we're going into now, because I do believe there's going to be a recession, is a place where money really starts to search for return. So you may not find it at banks, you may not find it at credit unions, but you will find it in, say, individual retirement accounts. Those accounts are looking for a return because they're not getting them on with the stock market, whether it be a 401k, mutual funds, individual stocks, things like that. So, excuse me, you can actually tie into those and help those people get a better return through different mechanisms, and then apply that return to real estate that is, you know, 60 cents on the dollar, that type of thing. So I would have done more of that when I was younger.
Well, part of that is we don't even know that we should do that, right? The advantage that we're seasoned, John, is now we know.
Is that a nice way of saying I'm old? Is that what you're saying?
We are probably the same age. I am seasoned and I'm spicy, John.
You're way younger than me. You're way younger than me.
Bless you, my friend. So what do you want to be known for?
A good parent. You know, I've got three kids. I was talking before we started, you know, my oldest daughter's 30, my youngest daughter's 28, and my son is 8. So I've got a 2-decade break between my second and third child. But I think a good measure of success for me is, you know, really how well my kids do and how successful they are. And, so that's kind of what I want to be remembered for from a, you know, big approach. I'd also like to be known as a good entrepreneur, a good author, a good husband, a good, maybe not in that order. So Heather, if you're listening to this, I meant husband first.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's kind of where I measure success by, or what I want to be remembered for is those core things. And I think everything else falls in place, you know, the money and things like that kind of fall in place. But that's kind of where my priorities have been and where they are currently.
And my daughter said to me, she goes, Mom, how does it feel? You have a daughter that's almost 40. I'm like, you are not almost 40. She just turned 36. So like, you are almost 40.
You don't even look at you. There's no way that you have a daughter 36. There's no way.
I do. See, I'm seasoned. I'm ahead of this.
But I don't believe it.
Thank you. I can attest for every year and I birthed that baby for sure. So do you have any morning rituals? Like, how do you get your mindset right? Right? Because mindset is such a huge part of our success as entrepreneurs. What do you do to get your mindset right and get ready to get into the game for the day?
It's a really good question, and I love answering that when I'm asked that on whether it's podcasts or just in meetings. But I believe in the 1 hour a day principle. And what that means is giving yourself at least 1 hour a day. And for me, that is some kind of workout. I run a lot. So I'm training either for half marathons or marathons. So I ran, 2,500 miles last year or this year, 2022. Probably be doing more than that in 2023. So I give myself at least 1 hour. And that consists of, I'm either going out for a run or I'm lifting or I'm doing some meditation or stretching. And so that's typically how I'm starting my day. None of those would be as good as if I didn't pair that morning ritual with coffee. Coffee is a must for me. So I do give myself at least 1 hour a day in the morning. And that's how I start myself out, because I think my mindset is better if I do. And it's usually the hardest thing I'm doing all day, usually. But I know if I can get that hardest thing done first at 5 o'clock in the morning, and have that done by 6, shower, ready to go at 6:30, I can get some emails done and then get my son off to school, because I love doing that every single morning when I'm not traveling. No matter what happens the rest of the day, I'm already a success. But as long as I have that coffee, that is also a must as well.
That is my must. 5 a.m. though, that's not my... That would be the hardest thing of the day for me, is get up at 5 a.m. I don't like that time.
I'm a morning person. Yeah. I'm early to bed and I get up early. I like, if I can get up at 4:30, I'll get up at 4:30.
Wow, that's awesome. So is there one question I should have asked you that I didn't know to ask you that you want to share about either building a business,
Yeah, I think the question is, have I ever failed? Would be a really good question that you didn't ask. And a lot of people don't like to talk about their failures, but I've certainly failed. As a matter of fact, I think those failures, and we were talking about this prior, is really one of the things that I fall back on now when I'm entering a new situation or talking about a new deal, because the cliche is that you learn from your failures. And I don't know if that's necessarily true, but we build up scar tissue. And the scar tissue that we build up from our failures is, for me, it's not necessarily the facts that I learned. It's the motivation that I learned not to put myself in that position again. And so I really try to use failure and fear as currency, because it's, you can save that stuff, you can spend that stuff, you can think about that stuff in many ways. But if I've got some failure currency built up, and I can spend that currency on the next deal not to fail, I think I'm in better shape. So again, it's not exactly facts that I learned from failure, but it's the energy that I can gain from thinking about how I don't want to be in that position again. So that would be a question. Yeah.
Right. I always look at what did I learn? So that I don't beat myself up. It's like, what, there is a huge learning lesson, whether it's losing millions in the real estate market, early on in my business, I had to file bankruptcy. That's that ebb and flow. What did I learn? I think that's the biggest. In parenting, what did I learn?
I think that's such trauma when you fail.
Yes.
It's hard for me to remember the stuff that I learned because I try to eliminate it from my mind. Mm-hmm. But I do remember the feeling that I was in. I may not know the facts as much in detail, but I know the feeling. It's like I try to remember that and use that as energy to make sure that I don't get there again.
Yes. Well, John, thank you for being here. How can we, our students, follow you, find you, get some juiciness from you?
Yeah. So if you go to johndesauer.com, that's just my name.com, that's my site. You'll have all the... see where I'm at, see what I've been doing, where I speak, all our products and services. That would be a really good place to start.
And we're going to put in the link, and in the show notes, we have a QR code for your book. Talk about your new book.
Yeah. Apartment Confidential is the book that you're talking about. And It's just a really good book. If you're interested in getting into multifamily investing, apartment building investing, this is your book from A to Z. It's going to show you everything from start to finish. It's a user-friendly. I've really taken my 25 years of experience in that and kind of put it in a concise book that you can read and get through in a short period of time and really take action from it. And that's a real thing. It's not about the education. It's about the implementation of that education. So it was a pleasure to write, and I know people are enjoying it right now.
Yes, I definitely am a firm believer. I was thinking, I think it's time to, I have duplexes and single family. I'm like, I think it's time for apartment building now. So
I love it.
I'm looking forward to reading it. So John, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for who you are in the world. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your genius. We appreciate you. And if you love this podcast, please share it with your community, your tribe, put in your newsletter, forward it to somebody that knows that they need to hear from John, because I know that somebody's looking for the answers that he has. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Power Your Profits Podcast. Let these building blocks from today's most successful industry leaders equip you with the necessary resources and tools to finally establish the highly profitable business of your dreams. Want to hear more? Listen to more episodes at www.poweryourprofitspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the show. Now is your time to rise to the top of your game. So be sure to catch our next episode. Until next time.